I won't take the time to button it up. thanks, Nathan. I appreciate that. And thanks for the new shirt. All right. Now, don't worry. That was planned. It's all good. And as you can see from the skit, we all need a new start, a clean start, right? Not just something to go over our mess. But have you ever wondered why? It's because we humans have messed up God's creation and his good plan for us with sin. Sin is that ugly stain that us humans are born into. We know it's there because we can see there are bad things in the world. Most of us can admit that we ourselves have done wrong things. I've only met one person in my life who said he's never done a wrong thing. And then I talked to his wife. All right. Sin is just in us for some reason. The Bible says that we humans are born into this condition because it goes way back to Adam and Eve, the first humans, the first sinners. Their sinful actions got us into this mess, and we need something or someone to get us out of it. So let's pray. God, we just thank you for the kids' Christmas service today and all the hard work that's gone into this and the great job that the kids are doing. I just ask you to speak to us now through your word and help us to come closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All through the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, we see that all people, even God's people, struggle with sin, don't they? Even the leaders of God's people mess up again and again and stray from his perfect will. In fact, the people that we sometimes consider heroes of the faith, they messed up hugely. Abraham, Moses, King David, King Solomon, the list goes on. But God kept promising that one day he would send a Savior, a servant so perfect, he will fix our problem of sin, the bad things we do to ourselves, to others, and against God and his creation. Now, the book of Isaiah mentions this servant a lot and has four specific sections called servant songs that talk about this Messiah. In the lead up to Christmas, we've recently looked at three of these servant songs, Hope, Joy, and Light. And we saw that although Isaiah wrote these songs hundreds of years before Jesus, they describe Jesus perfectly. Today, we're going to quickly look at the fourth servant song from Isaiah, describing this coming servant, Jesus, as peace, the one who brings peace. We're going to have a Bible slide now, Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13 to 15. And Isaiah writes this, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand." Notice the irony in verse 13. The wise servant Jesus will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. How? On a cross. That should have been a forever shaming thing. It was intended to be a forever shaming thing, but it wasn't because Jesus conquered death. Isaiah was writing this hundreds of years beforehand, but we who live after the fact now look at Jesus raising up on the cross as a throne-like moment. He is king. He was exalted. He is exalted because he rose even higher in life over death. Let's continue looking at Isaiah's song about the suffering servant who brings peace, starting in chapter 53, verse 1. "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Now, before I go to this next verse in the chapter here, it's been made into a kid's song, and I cannot say it without thinking of the kid's song by Colin Buchanan. So Isaiah 53:6. "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah 53:6. Thankfully, no one turned the next verses into a song, so I can just keep going. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, you might be thinking, wait a second, Clint. This sounds like Easter stuff, and this is supposed to be Christmas, right? Like, what's your problem? But think about it. Jesus didn't come to earth as a baby to stay a baby. We often see or hear at Christmas time the phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. Very true. That is absolutely true. But recently, someone showed me this. I had never seen this before, so I don't know if our slides are working. I've got another slide here. And it's actually a take on the Jesus is the reason for the season. If it doesn't come up, I'm going to look even more foolish than usual. Jesus, there we go. This is the season, this is the reason. So we've got the wreath, and the other half is a crown of thorns. Jesus came to earth to bring us peace with himself, with our Creator. He became one of us and entered our mess, quite literally, and took the punishment we deserve for our wrongdoing. In fact, let's look at verse 5 again, right in the middle of the passage we read. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. This suffering servant is the peacemaker, the peace giver, the peace bringer. He offers us peace with God. If you remember from the skit earlier, where my new shirt got messed up, none of the things people tried could take care of the stain problem. No amount of scrubbing or work we could do was going to fix it. I needed a new shirt. Thankfully, Nathan had a new shirt to give me. I appreciate that. But you might be thinking, okay, I've got sin in my life, but how is God going to give me a new start, a clean start? Thankfully, God offers peace to us when we have broken it. God made a way for peace with us through Jesus dying in our place. Jesus is the reason for the season. This is the season, and the crown of thorns, this is the reason. And the Bible promises that if we're in Jesus, then God no longer remembers our sin. It no longer blocks us from him. In fact, even if the enemy accuses us of all the wrong things we've done, Jesus gets the last word. Jesus is the word. He gets to tell the accuser, hey, shut up. This one's with me. Why? Because he paid for our sin. He paid for us to be with him. And that's really good news. Do you get how powerful this is? When we're in Christ Jesus, nothing can keep us from God and his love because of his great sacrifice. He paid for peace, for our peace, for the peace we have with God. Like the Christmas presents we receive at Christmas time, you can accept peace with God, the peace that is offered to us. I'm going to actually call someone up here as an example of this. Can I get Seth Lau back up on stage? And I'll call you a big kid this time. Yeah. Now, can you read the name that's on there for me?
That's it. Seth Lau.
Seth Lau. Is that indeed you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I bought you this gift. I want to give it to you. It's not yours yet. Would you like it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now it's his. Thanks. Go on down, bud. Okay, he gets to keep it. All right? It was his. I intended it to be his. I wanted it to be his. But he could have not accepted it. In fact, I've done that before at a church, and the person didn't accept it. And I was like, gee, thanks. It was even had his name on it, yet I wanted him to take it, right? And that's kind of how God's gift to us is. He offers it, but you don't have to take it. He's not going to force it on you. Notice I didn't beat Seth in the head with it. I didn't throw it at him. I didn't shove it down his throat. I was like, hey, you want this? I'd really like to give this to you. So another example of gift giving and a Christmas gift was when I was in year two. I can still remember Christmas for year two. I remember two gifts that I got. Don't remember anything else. Maybe I only got two gifts. I was pretty naughty that year. So I got my first ever gun, right? And I was so excited because all my cousins and all the boys at school, they got their first guns at kindergarten. But my mom didn't think it was safe for a kindergartner to have a gun. My mom is watching today. Hi, Mom. My mom thought you have to wait until you're in year two. That's when it's safe to get a gun. We're in America, okay? So anyways, I was so excited, but I woke up Christmas morning with the flu. Man, I was sick. I was so sick. I opened up the gun, and I was like, ah! And my mom was like, okay, you can go outside and shoot stuff, just not your sister. But I was too sick to go outside, and I opened up my other present, and it was a book. And I was like, what? Is this a joke? I was a boy in year two. I didn't want a book, and I was so miserable. I couldn't go outside, so my gun just sat there. And my mom said, here, just go to bed and take this book with you. Read it. It'll help you. I was like, that's a stupid book. I was miserable all morning, didn't want to read it. Finally, I was like, I got nothing better to do. I cracked open the book, and it was a mystery book, and it just, my mind went into it, and I forgot all about how bad I felt. And it was a great gift. It started my lifelong love of reading. I reluctantly accepted that gift, right? And sometimes I think it's like that with God. Some people seem to come to God reluctantly because they don't know who he is or their need for him or just what it is he's offering. Just like I didn't know how good that book was going to be for me or that it was going to change my life. The book was more powerful than the gun. Who knew? But I'm telling you today, you don't need to come to God reluctantly because he's your creator who loves you. You do have a need for him. You need him because you were created to know him and be in constant relationship with him. That is your purpose. He is offering all of us that chance through the power of what he did on the cross and by rising again from the dead. Thinking back to the skit earlier, we really need something that replaces our sin and our wrongdoing and the lost state we're in without knowing God. Now, you may have already received that gift, and in return, you've given yourself as a gift to God. If that's you, fantastic. Thank you. I'm so glad. But don't think of it as a one-time gift that you opened. And okay, I have God. See you later. Use this holiday season to thank God and keep spending time with him and keep enjoying him over and over. If you haven't accepted that peace with God that he offers, I'm actually going to give you a chance to do that right now. In a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you can silently pray to God right where you are, whether you're sitting here or watching online. I'll slowly pray the words, and you can repeat them silently to God. And let's do that right now. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. Thank you for paying for my sin. I accept your offer of love and peace in my life. Please enter my life and give me a clean new heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that just now, congratulations. Thank you for starting your journey with God. Please let someone know about it. We want to help you grow in this new relationship with God. Because it's going to be an ongoing peace that will grow and bear fruit in your life as you grow in your relationship with God. And it can actually have, and it will have, tangible results in your life. Just the other day, I was invited to speak somewhere. And I got to this place, and I was introduced to another pastor. And I was introduced as the biggest man in the room, someone who's easy to spot. I didn't think anything of it. Immediately, though, the person who said it, because he was introducing me to people, got a grave look on their face, and they kind of turned pale, and they apologized and said, Clint, I didn't mean it like that. I hope I haven't offended you. I don't think you're fat. All right? Well, thanks to experiencing peace with God over these last few years, I have grown to have peace with myself. I know I'm not the perfect athletic specimen that stands here before you today. I run like a duck. I'm not very fast. But at one point in my life, I would have been very offended at someone saying I was the biggest person in the room. I would have interpreted it as Clint is fat and worthless. But now it takes a lot more to offend me. Besides, let's just take that guy's words as if he meant it the worst possible way. And what if I was the fattest guy in the room, or even the whole world? So what? It wouldn't change the fact that God loves me and I'm precious to him. It wouldn't take away my relationship with him. Therefore, Insults don't have to hurt as much as they once did. And sometimes they don't hurt at all. Besides, this guy didn't mean to be offensive, and he was immediately apologetic. Thankfully, it hadn't bothered me to begin with, so I was at peace. This man and I were at peace. Well, let me tell you, the old me, the old Clint, that thankfully you haven't met, before I had accepted Christ and the peace he offers, I was very bothered at even the slightest possibility that someone might have said the wrong thing. I was not a peaceful person to be around. So I love this time of year, hearing Christmas carols that say things like peace on earth and peace with men. It's a good reminder to me that peace starts with Christ's offer to us. We can receive peace with God, which leads to peace with and in ourselves, and then peace with our neighbors. You want peace in the world? It starts with you. All right? It's a beautiful lifelong occurrence as we grow in our relationship with God. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for today, that we had a chance to come here and just learn about your peace. Thank you for paying for and offering that peace to us. God, I just pray for all the kids that have been involved in the service today. I thank you that they're a reminder that we can experience you at any age, young or old. We can have peace with you and with others starting from any age. So God, I just pray that all of us would take that up and see the tangible change in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.